Hello and welcome to the Jacqueline Wilson Fan Club. I'm your host Maddie Campion and each episode I'm joined by a guest who revisits a Jacqueline Wilson book from their childhood and we have a big old nostalgic chat. Whilst we are discussing books with the youngsters and chatting childhood, just a heads up, this is not a podcast for kids. We might have some fruity language here and there, so I wouldn't want to corrupt them, okay? Today's guest is writer and performer Megan Prescott. Megan first came to international TV screens on the hit series Skins. And the Jacqueline Wilson book that she's brought along with her today is Double Act. Double Act is the multi-award winning book which follows 10-year-old twins Ruby and Garnet. Ruby is the eldest twin and makes the decisions for both of them, much to Garnet's introverted disdain. Ruby's desperate for them to be actresses, though Garnet prefers just to write plays. They live with their dad and gran, who helps look after them after their mother, Opal, passed away when they were 7 years old. The twins are having to come to terms with the fact that their dad has found a new partner, Rose. Ruby hatches a scheme to get her and Garnet into a boarding school where a TV show is shooting. However, only Garnet gets a scholarship, and Ruby is forced to accept that they do live different lives. So welcome Megan Prescott to the Jacqueline Wilson Fan Club, or as I was thinking, JWFC, to make it sound
nice,
like a football club.
Snappy.
This episode, we've been reading Double Act. Now, this is a book that you chose, Megan, for a specific reason.
So I am a twin, and I read this book still being a twin many years ago, and I read it in one car journey on the way to see my grandparents, but a lot of it resonated because they're also, I didn't remember when I was reading it, they want to act, or one of them does, so I was like, oh, so many levels.
Do you know what, this is actually the very first Jacqueline Wilson book I ever read.
Is it?
As a child. Yeah, the very first one that I read when I got it out of the library. And I completely forgot about them wanting, because when I was a kid, I was desperate to be an actress. And so that again. So it follows the story of Ruby and Garnet, 10-year-old identical twins. Are you an identical twin?
Technically, no. But if the casting department from Skins asks, yes, we are, because we lied. And so we
were.
You'd believe us, right?
Yeah.
Back then you would. Maybe not now.
To be honest, the amount of people... There's my cousins are twins, and you can tell that they're not identical, because they don't look alike. They've got different colour hair. But
really? What, naturally?
Yeah, like one's got slightly sort of darker brown hair and one's got slightly ashy blonde hair.
Oh.
Yeah. But... they are definitely not identical twins.
That's a bit shit that you get all... Oh, wait, I should have asked. Can I swear on this?
Yeah, this is not a kids' podcast.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's a bit shit. They get all the shit parts of being a twin, like having to share your birthday, but they don't get the fun things like getting to trick people or look the same.
Yeah. I think some people still... Maybe some people are like, oh, I can't tell them apart. It's interesting. What is your experience of being a twin? Because... as a kid, I was desperate to be a twin. I was like, yes, hell yeah. A friend, that someone has to be friends with you because they're biologically related. But as
yeah,
I
but
have...
see, they don't. So like, we're fine. As long as we like live on different continents, we get on quite well. But it's just, we're fine. We've both matured enough, and we are getting, our relationship is very good now. But like, we didn't really get on when we were younger. And so it used to piss me off when I used to see like the Olsen twins and like Sister Sister and all these twin shows where they're like best friends. And I was like, this isn't very representative of my experience of being a twin. But then when Skins came along and they were like, we want to portray twins that aren't best friends. I was like, oh my God, fantastic. But when anyone came up to me and was like, oh, I'd love to be a twin, I really want a really close twin friend thing. And I was like, okay, do you have a brother or sister? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, do you get on with them? And they're like, not really. And I'm like, right, okay, imagine if they looked exactly like you and lived the same life you did and people literally got you confused. That's the real experience of being a twin. There are some benefits, mostly negatives.
So I suppose when you read Double Act, you were like, I'm seeing my childhood right in front of me.
Yeah. But it's interesting because I'm not really into star signs, but like me and my sister are Geminis, which is a twin sign.
Oh.
So, and we do both have like two, actually, I don't know really, I feel definitely me, I have like two sides. So when I was reading Double Act, I was like, which one am I more like? And I think most of the time I was more like Ruby. But then, wait, Ruby's the, like, bolshy one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Ruby's the one that's like, I'm going to be an actress. One. Yeah.
Yeah. But then I think when we were younger, Catherine was probably more on the Ruby side, and then now we've switched. But there are definite, I really kept switching when I was reading the book. I was like, no, that's I'm very Garnet. And then I was like, no, that's Catherine. So it's weird, because it was like watching both sides of my personality in a book. Very interesting.
Oh, very meta.
Yeah.
I've got to be honest. I feel like Ruby and Garnet. Garnet has definitely. Well, she hasn't. I'd say Ruby's lucked out on getting the nicer name of the twins.
Yeah.
Have you ever met a Garnet?
No. And I remember when I was young, I didn't know what Garnet was. So I was like, Garnet. It sounds like a strange, like an ugly bird, like a type of bird, like. Oh, like a garnet, don't you think? Like a long-necked garnet. Like, but
I feel like there is a bird called a gannet, isn't there?
Yeah. Oh, maybe that's why. Yeah. That's probably why. Yeah.
Yeah.
Knowledge.
So, in this book, they live with Ruby and Garnet. Live with their dad.
Yep.
And their gran.
Yep. I didn't remember that their mum died.
That is a very.
It's like a huge part of the story, and I must have been like 8 when I read this book, so I don't remember anything about it. I just remember they were twins.
I think it's quite good. It's probably quite healthy that you didn't hold on to the trauma of them losing. But yes, I remember them. I remembered how much they didn't really want to be and look alike, or that there were friction. But I did not remember the drama.
So because. They were very much like in the beginning, they were like very much like, no, we're the same. We want to sit together and we want to do this. And that was like the opposite. So me and my sister were like, I want to be in different classes. I want to have different hair. I want to wear different clothes. And like when we were really young, it was so difficult to tell us apart that we literally wore name badges when we went to school.
Oh,
I remember them. She had a blue one. I had a pink one. But yeah, we looked so similar, but we really wanted to be different. But reading this book, I was like, oh, these twins really want to embrace the whole twinness of everything. And their like language, we did have a language, but it wasn't like exclusive to us. It was, do you remember that language where you replaced the first syllable of every letter with "othergov" or something?
I remember it was like billabob.
And to me, it was so easy and obvious. And it really easy to understand, but we just played up on the idea. We said it was our twin language, but loads of people understood it. But yeah, that's as far as we got.
I bet as well, when you're kids, like all you're going to be saying is like, oh, I want a milkshake. Like that is.
Yeah, it's nothing important.
Nothing like, oh, we've got to meet at the bank at 2 a.m.
Yeah, for this heist that we've.
That's quite. Did you get May to wear the same outfit then? Or
no, so we got. But what we got was the same outfit, but like in a slightly different colour. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, it was the same, but like I've got some hideous photos. But our step grandma, is that what you call it when your granddad gets remarried? Step grandma?
That's what I would call it.
So she was cool. She used to like get us like clothes. And at the time, I was like, this is brilliant. Like Yvonne gets us the best clothes. And then like looking. She got us like matching, like I got a light, no, mine was like light green and Catherine's was like lilac, and it was like a matching crop top, flared trousers and a net jacket set. And like we were like, yeah, again, like 8, and we thought it was the fucking tits. But I remember my mum being like, oh, you don't need to wear that today. No, let's save Yvonne's special outfits for another occasion. And looking back on it, I do understand. But yeah, we got the same thing, but we did get slightly different colours, if we were lucky.
That is, I mean, they sound like outfits that I would wear right now. So.
I wish I could still fit into them, but yeah, they were brilliant, but probably not good for like a 9-year-old.
And you mentioned that you wanted different hair. Did you ever go as dramatic as Ruby and cutting all your hair off?
I was confused. In the book, how she writes it, did she cut it to like a pixie crop? Is that what she says?
Yeah, the illustrations, luckily.
See, I had the audio, but... Oh! Oh, God, yeah, it is like all her hair off. Okay, yeah. Just for reference to anyone listening who's like, did you not read the book? I listened to the audio book because I have ADD and I can't read. I can read, but it's just testing sometimes. But yeah, I didn't see the pictures. But I cut, when we were 11, I cut my hair... like just into a bob, but everyone was like, no, you shouldn't. And that was the first like dramatic difference that we had between us. And it was from, you know, the year, is it between year 6 and 7 where you go into like older school?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I cut all my, and that's when we went into separate classes as well. So I was like, yeah, it's my class and I have a bob and blah, blah, blah. And it looked hideous, but I was really pleased with it at the time.
So you went to the same schools and everything. You didn't split.
We went to the same school, but then up until we were like 11, we were in the same actual class. And then when we were 11 plus, we made them separate us into different classes.
Oh, dramatic. I like it. So in Double Act, Garnet is very introverted. Mm-hmm. She's very much like, she likes writing the stories. Mm-hmm. And they frequently write plays and put them on. Ruby wants to be an actress, and she assumes for both of them, mm-hmm, that they both want to be actresses, even though Garnet is very clear, mm-hmm, and is like, no, I don't want to be an actress. Mm-hmm. Did you both start acting quite young. Mm-hmm. Was that something that you both wanted to go into? Or
yeah, so we both wanted to be singers when we were really young, and we had like a band with our friend, as in like just we no one could play any instruments, we could just all sing. But then I think when we got to again around like 10, 11, we realized that we were all terrible at singing, and then Catherine will disagree, but I decided I wanted to be an actress first, and then Catherine said she wanted to be an actress as well, so fine. And then we got our first like actual professional acting job when we were 15 in Doctors. I played a ghost twin. Spoiler alert, that you only find that out that I'm a ghost at the end, but yes, I was a ghost. And again, she was very much like the Bolshe twin in Doctors. And then we very soon after, we got an audition to be in Skins. And then, you know what? When I read this book, you know, when they go to the audition and then they're like, there's loads of twins everywhere. And we weren't special anymore. And it was really weird. So when the first time we went to the Skins audition, it was in Warren Street. And me and my sister went. And literally, obviously, only we knew that there was twin auditions being held. Like, the general public didn't know. So we were walking around Warren Street and we were like, there's fucking twins everywhere. Like, if I was just a regular member of the public, I would be like, what is going on today? But that I was like, oh, God, this was exactly the same as the audition for Skins. There was just twins everywhere. And loads of them looked much more similar than me and Catherine. So we were a bit like, oh, we are not special as twins. But it did turn out that they wanted twins that weren't like, you could tell them apart a bit. So it worked out quite well, but we did lie and say that we are identical.
And if they couldn't tell, then you must.
Exactly. I was like, whatever. Yeah. And it's shockingly common that people genuinely believe that the identical thing is an opinion thing. So I've had to, yeah, they've been like, yeah, but you are. And I'd be like, okay, maybe looks, but like we were in a different egg. So we are not identical. And I used to think it was really like boring to be twins but not be identical. So I was like, oh, that's not very special. Like, identical twins are the thing that everyone's excited about. But I found out it's actually much rarer to be a non-identical twin.
Interesting.
Uh-huh, yeah. Because to be a twin, it's monozygotic or dizygotic. A monozygotic twin is when... if I get this wrong, sorry. But one egg is released and then it's fertilized and it splits. But dizygotic twins, so non-identical, are when by some freak chance, two eggs are released in a cycle. And by some other freak chance, both of them are fertilized. And then by a third freak chance, they both survive to like fruition. So it is much rarer to be a non-identical twin.
That is interesting. I suppose a lot of twins nowadays are IVF, which is probably changes the whole thing.
Yeah, IVF. So that must mean that there's...
I think they do, yeah.
There's
multiple
eggs. Because you can't be... How many times can an egg split? You can't be like quadruplets from one egg, can you? I don't know. No. I actually don't know this.
No. I suppose because Octomom was IVF. I mean, we're going really off piece.
I'm going to start researching this because I wonder if you could be triplets, but two of them could be identical and one of them could be non-identical.
That is a fascinating... Also, I suppose if you're having IVF, you're pumped full of hormones anyway.
Loads of eggs do come out. I went to school with triplets and... college, and they looked... You could tell they were related, but there were two boys and a girl. One of the boys and one of the girls was really tall, but one of the boys was, like, honestly, like, a decent amount shorter and different colour hair. Yeah.
Was there rivalry between you and the triplets?
No, because I was at college on my own, so I didn't... I was a person on my own at college. I fucking loved it. I was like, they don't even fucking know Catherine's name. But then they watched TV and then, ruined everything.
So you remember reading this book on your car journey to your grand's, and you remember really resonating with the characters. How did it compare to now, like reading it as an adult? Do you feel...
Reading it as an adult, I was like, oh, Jacqueline Wilson's been quite clever here, because she's obviously trying... As an adult, you infer things that you wouldn't have inferred as a kid. So, like, from the beginning, I was like, is it Rose, the name of the girlfriend?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I bet she's a nice person. Like, she does, she's really nice, but these two kids are obviously clearly, like, for understandable reasons, they're not interested. But I think the way that it's written, I was like, oh, okay, if Jacqueline Wilson is imagining, like, a parent reading this book to their kid or whatever, the parent knows what's going on, but the kid... You can if you were a kid, you'd be like, yeah, bitch, I don't want to I don't want to be friends with my dad's new girlfriend. But yeah, it was quite nice to see. I like the way Jacqueline Wilson writes for adults and children.
Yeah, I feel like these books are very interesting. They're very, very quick to read. And it makes me feel like I'm not the genius child that I thought I was.
I know.
When you're like, I read a whole book in a day.
It's very easy listening. Yeah, when I downloaded the audiobook, it was like an hour and 45 minutes long. And I was like, what? Like, because I used to think, I read this all in one car journey. And it was literally like less than 2 hours, the car journey. Well, so I'm not special.
It's still a feat. No, you should still be proud of yourself.
I met Jacqueline Wilson.
Oh wow! Everyone's met Jacqueline Wilson.
I know. I think she did. She did lots of book signings, I think. And like, do you know the Millfield Theatre, like in Edmonton?
I don't, but I'll check it out.
We used to, it's a vague memory, but we used to go to like their pantomime every year, and it can't have been their pantomime, but at some point Jacqueline Wilson was doing a book signing at Millfield Theatre, and we were like, we want to go. So we went, and me and my sister were like, we're twins, and we like double act. And then she was like, she might have been lying, but she did say, oh, I'm making a TV version of Double Act. And she was like, oh, I wish I had met you two before, because I was like, we're actresses. And she was like, oh, I should have put you in it. And at the time I was like, no, seriously, Jacqueline Wilson genuinely wanted to put me in her show. But obviously she probably said that to every set of twins she met, but I was extremely pleased that she said that.
Yeah, I read the Wikipedia for this, and it did get turned into a TV show.
Did you see it? I never saw or heard
I don't,
it.
I do not remember it, which...
To be fair, it's not my, like, bracket children's TV, but so maybe
but
I just
feel like
it
would have been around, I think it was, like, year 2000, so...
Yeah, I would have been aware of it, but...
They definitely, the makers of that, their marketing did not do a good job.
I'm not going to insult the actors that they did choose, because I don't know, they might have done a good job, but you know, maybe it was down to the choice of casting. Maybe if they chose us, it would have been a global success.
That'd still be It would have been a series that's still going on today. And you're chained into it.
Very different podcast.
Is there anything else about this book that struck you?
So, let me just refer to my notes. So, I thought it was interesting. Like, I'm always interested to read or watch things that came out like 10 plus years ago, because a lot of stuff doesn't age very well, because we're so on top of, well, most of the time, of things that are like, you shouldn't really say that or do that right now. But little things, when one of them said something like, oh yeah, oh, right at the beginning, I think Ruby was saying, oh, she eats loads of sweets. And she was like, but I don't get fat because I run around loads. And I was like, God, we were already thinking about sweets equal getting fat when we're like 10.
It actually seems to be a reoccurring theme with Jacqueline Wilson books.
Oh.
Or it's something that we've all noticed. And also, one of the characters, so Ruby, is not really interested in being friends with anyone else apart from Garnet. And there is, of course, she's got an enemy called, who she calls, the Blob.
Yeah, she keeps being like, oh, you're big fat. But, like, it's a thing, like,
yeah,
about his way. So I don't know, because I was speaking to my friend and I said, oh, I'm doing this podcast and it's about, like, revisiting Jacqueline Wilson books. And she was like, oh, that's interesting because, like, apparently Jacqueline Wilson has been, like, under fire at certain points because some of the themes are, like, too adult. And I was like, I don't know what I think, because I haven't read all of them, but I have read a lot of them. And I do remember thinking, well, not, I mean, I can't remember what age I was when I read them all, but, you know, there's some that deal with adult themes. But I think, like, if you just don't talk about them, they still, like, young people still think about them. And if you don't give them some kind of place to read about them, like, I don't know. I didn't know what I think, because my friend was saying it could ignite a problem, like, if you didn't have one, or it could trigger you if you had already had issues with things written. Like, if you did lose a parent and you wanted to read a nice book to distract you, and then every book has something about someone leaving, or, like, she said that she was so paranoid that her dad was going to have an affair because of reading a Jacqueline Wilson book, that their mum's friend, who was gay, but obviously when she was younger, she didn't know that, she wouldn't talk to him because she was like, I think he's having an affair with mummy, and, like, I've read this book where it ruins families, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, okay, I do get that. But I think if you were a child who had parents who divorced and there was this new person, maybe it would be quite nice to read a book where it's like, because if you only read books where they were all happy families, it would probably make you feel shitter about the fact that your family are different. I don't know. I'm on the fence.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think that is, because I do think that it is important for kids to be exposed to the realities of what life is like, and also what a lot of kids our age, well, like, in childhood are going through. And I think, for me, I think it's very important for empathy, because there are always a lot of troubled kids in my class. Like, I went to quite a rough primary school, mm-hmm. and, you know, there were kids who were going through a lot. And I think reading books and being like, oh, this character
what so-and-so might be going through. Yeah, you're right, actually. Likewise, I went to a normal college, which was better than my school, but I went to a private school, and I cannot stress enough how stupid I think private schools are. Like, it just doesn't prepare you for the real world. They like wrap you up in cotton wool. It's often very small classes, and they're very elitist, so you don't get a sense of what the actual world is like. And so, you know, me and my sister were in a position where, like, our dad is literally like like literally a con artist. So we were in that school and he could only just scam his way to get the fees. Whereas we were in a school with like rich kids who would be going on holiday four times a year and be like, oh, why don't you shop at Selfridges? And we'd be like, what? I don't understand. But then to normal kids, we were the posh wankers who went to a private school. I just don't think it's good for anyone. I think the rich kids should also have to go to a normal fucking school where everyone goes and gets the same access. It's not fair that certain kids can, I don't know. But also, the thing that you're supposed to get with a private education is like a better education. But a lot of the time, I don't think that's the case. It wasn't for me anyway. A lot of shady shit going on.
It's interesting, you don't have to be a qualified teacher to teach at a private school.
I mean, I'm terrified to get sued the shit out of, but that is an interesting point. there's a lot of potential there, yes.
So that's interesting because Ruby and Garnet, Ruby's like, oh, let's apply to go to this boarding school.
Yeah.
It's prestigious. And I suppose, were you at a private school for primary or just for secondary? Yeah,
no, both. Both. Ooh. The primary school was an all-girls school. And that one, I think, was, semi-normal, as private schools go. But the secondary school was just complete. It just didn't... It induced many things that were not... They were not nurturing of individuals and they were not nurturing of mental health.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. I feel like secondary schools are toxic places in general.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like no amount of Jacqueline Wilson books could ever prepare you for that.
Yeah, but it was nice to read because I always felt like in between. So I was at this school where everyone was rich and like making fun of me for not being rich. But then my friends that didn't go to private schools, I felt like I couldn't relate to them either because they saw me as this posh twat who went to a private school. So it was nice to read a book that I was like, oh, I just desperately wanted to go to a normal school and be around normal people and just get and have a normal.
Yeah.
I wanted to live near my friends, because the school was in the middle of nowhere. All my friends lived all over the place, so I couldn't get to them. But reading books and stuff about normal life, thank God I did, because otherwise I could have turned out this kid who had no idea about the outside world and was like, "Wait, your daddy doesn't drive a Porsche. What has happened to you?" I'm glad.
Yeah, I think Jacqueline Wilson's very interesting for that because most kid books that you read. When you're young, they're either sort of things that are like, oh, five children go on a little adventure and solve a bank crime.
Mm.
Or they are very sort of magical and fantasy. And I think it is good to have books that are grounded in reality and also expose a different way of life. And I think for me, I saw a lot of my own childhood, but... my own childhood experience, but also people who I knew and were friends with in Jacqueline Wilson books.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't always that fancy.
Characters and... Well, they were just normal kids going through things that normal kids do tend to go through. I'm very glad I read it. I understand that it's different for everybody and depending on your experience and depending on what happened, it could be triggering. But I think, you know, they say Bambi was made for kids who had lost a parent because it was something that it's no, other people are going through this, even though it's a deer, you know, children might be able to relate better to a deer and just see that things are not, it's not the end of the world. You will be okay. So in that respect, I think it's good. But, you know, people say the same thing about loads of things that are too honest. Oh, it's damaging. And again, there are so many shades of grey. But I do think overall, it might have been a good thing that issues that people didn't really want to talk about in books were discussed in Jacqueline Wilson books. Because then if it did happen to you, or if it had happened to you as a child who was reading that book, you don't feel so alienated.
I suppose it's quite interesting actually that we're discussing this, because you went on to be in a TV series that discussed a lot of taboo subjects.
I was going to say, like, people say similar things about skins, and I'm on the fence about it because obviously lots of stuff was glamorized that maybe shouldn't have been glamorized. You know, I also didn't write it. I was also 15, 16, 17 when I was in it. So, you know, there were a few things which I had the wherewithal, thankfully, to say, I don't think I should say that at the time. So, for example, there was a line that my character was supposed to say, which she goes, oh, it was just an off the cuff, like, I was just talking in the background. It wasn't even like a proper, I wasn't going to have the shot on me, but I was supposed to say, like, oh, and I said to her, you can take your smear test and shove it up your ass. And even as a 15, 16 year old, I was like to the director, I don't really want to say this because I don't think it's, I feel like we should be encouraging people to get smear tests, not like this is going to be on national TV. And for me to say, like, oh, fuck smear tests, I don't know if I want to say that. But looking back, there's a lot of things that maybe I should have said that as well too, but I am still glad, like, that I did that. However, the main criticism of Skins, I guess, was, oh, it's glamorizing, like, drugs and alcohol and underage sex, which, yes, I suppose it glamorized it. And again, I'm on the fence. I don't really know how I feel, but I do think there's something to be said for the fact that most TV shows you saw before that about teens were, you know, 30-year-olds playing beautiful teenagers. And that is also not reality. So I don't think Skins was reality, but I also think it was probably closer than, you know, 90210. Like, who can relate to 90210? Like, you can't. So, and, you know, ever since, there has been so many people that have said to me, like, oh, I was going through something like that. And I'm so glad that there was a TV show that showed it. You know, like, my character went through, like, premature menopause, and I didn't even really know what that was. I remember them saying to me at the time, like, the director was like, well, how would you feel if you were told that you couldn't have kids? And I was like 16. I was like, well, I guess I've never thought of it. Like, I don't know. And that made me even think, shit, I wonder what I would feel like if that had happened. And I guess there are people out there that might be dealing with that, which I would have never thought of. So yeah, the thing that you said about empathy, it's also a good thing that even if you're not going through it, it might have been a good thing to put out there. Again, there's a lot of stuff that I do think perhaps, you know, you could argue maybe wasn't a good idea to put out there, but you never know. And you also, you know, it was on late at night. People have to take responsibility. If your 9-year-old is watching it, it can't, you know, there's only so much a TV show can do. They can't shut the eyes of 9-year-olds. You know, you have to check that the 9-year-olds are not watching things that are inappropriate. But
yeah, it comes with an age certificate.
Yeah, there's same thing with, like, Instagram. It's like, it's, you're supposed to be 13 plus, and, you know, if you're a 9-year-old with a smartphone that your parents have given you and there's no limits on it, you're not going to be like, oh, actually, I'm not 13, I guess I can't get Instagram. Like, but it doesn't mean it's the people who post stuff that may be a bit too, you know, it's not their fault that a 9-year-old is looking at it. It's really some other people have to take responsibility. But yes, I'm not siding either way with the whole what should and shouldn't have been on national television.
You didn't have the executive decision on
this. I think, and yeah, and this was a pre Me Too era, and pre, like, we're super careful, rightly so, about, you know, what's going on, safeguarding people and children and stuff. And this was, you know, before all that, so there wasn't people being like, are you okay with saying this? Do you want to discuss this? Do you want to talk to, like, some support, like, whatever? So I do like the way things are going, but I'm on the fence of certain things.
Do you think then if you'd met Ruby and Garnet, or probably more Ruby than Garnet, when they were 10 years old and you're the age that you are now, and Ruby says, oh, I want to be an actress, what would you say to her?
I would say, wait until you are 18. Like, wait, at least 18. And do something else as well. Like, don't you know, people will say to you, and maybe rightly so, if you want to be an actress, if you want it enough, you will only do that and you'll dedicate your entire life. That's an incredibly privileged standpoint to have. Like, you know, I lived in LA for a year and people would be like, well, you should be going to acting school. It's $200 a session. But if you cared enough, if you wanted to do acting enough, you'd get it. Oh, and you need headshots. They're $400 minimum to get a good one. And then you need to redo them every 3 months just to keep it up to date. You need to be part of four casting platforms, which you pay to be a member of. And each picture you upload is an extra $25. Like, it's like adding up and up, and it's like, well, yeah, I do really want this, but like, if I don't have parents to pay for this shit for me and I need to work a job and I don't have any savings, like, what do you expect people to do? So I would say to anyone, especially young people wanting to get into acting, that's fine. Do go to a drama club, do your, like, get that, what you love about acting, get it through drama classes and whatever. But I do think it's like not a great idea to be like in such an adult environment where you are treated, maybe not these days, but we were definitely treated like adults. And we were like, brilliant, we are adults, but we very much were not adults. So I would advise, find something else you're passionate as well, like that you're passionate about as well. So like, for example, like, I don't know, writing, or like my sister does photography, or like just something else that you might be able to make money off that doesn't drain your soul, to do along with acting. Because obviously acting, if you are extremely privileged and you're able to just pay rent and just sit around and wait for the next acting job, that's brilliant. But 95% of people can't do that. So find something else that you can do in the meantime that doesn't drain your soul. I wish someone had told me that when I was like 13, because I didn't really focus on anything else except wanting to act. So then I was like doing a decade of like just part-time in between jobs that sucked the life out of me, because I was desperately chasing being an actor. And it took me until I was like 24, when I was like interning at a production company, to be like, I think I might be able to do this. Like, not everything, but like the scripts, it was my job to like read scripts and like, you know, whatever. And I had read so many scripts from auditions, and some of them I was like, who wrote this? Who commissioned this? Even honestly, I know I sound like an asshole, but even as an 18-year-old, I was like, honestly, I think I could give at least I could give it a shot and it would be better than this. Like, this sounds like an old rich person writing this, and they're writing it as like a 13-year-old girl. I just don't believe it. So that's literally how it started, and I was lucky enough to have people that were in the production company that were like supporting me and like, oh, you should do this, you should read this, you should try this, you should apply here. But again, that's still privileged. But yeah, I would say to young people, be careful.
So Ruby really should follow Garnet's.
Like, go to an acting class, and at the end she does, doesn't she? Like, she gets enrolled in like an acting class, and then the Rose like goes to the shopping center while Ruby's in her acting class. That's great. I think do that. Like, have your fun. Have your fun and be a child, and then see what you think when you're 18.
I fully support that, even though I have only acted in three things. And one of them I was you can edit this out, Jenny, but I was on a tween dance show. It's like a teen dance show called The Next Step.
Really?
And it's like it's just like this Canadian TV show, and they're shooting in London.
Were you a dancer?
I'm not a dancer. And I was like, do they know I'm not a dancer? Because I had no script. It's all supposed to be improvised, basically. Like, there's no script. They just feed you the lines, and they're like, and they, on the day, they sort of were like, I was brought in to do like a comedy scene, and they were like, yeah, that's not happening anymore. And they're like, oh, just go tell this guy he's cute and he shouldn't be sad. And I was like, he's 17.
Oh God. That's the thing. And you're like young. You're like, okay.
Yeah. I think I was like early 20s at the time, but I was definitely too old to be telling this guy.
Oh, I thought, sorry, I thought you meant you were young.
No, I was telling a 17-year-old. I was in my 20s. Yeah. Maybe he was like 19 playing a 15-year-old, but yeah, you know.
I do think it's different if you're a twin, because obviously a lot of the auditions and stuff, me and my sister went together. So, and on set, we were mostly together. So I think that was better for us. But I think being alone, because we were older than 16, so we didn't legally need a chaperone. But I think maybe we should have had, like, just to be like, there's a parent here, like, looking. I mean, obviously at the time I'm like, I don't need to, I'm a grown up, like, it's fine. But yeah, me and my sister, a lot of the auditions we went on together. So like, you know, as a 16-year-old, if you go into a room and people are like, impress us, and when you're not doing that and they're like if I was alone, I would be, which I have been many times since, but I would, as a young kid, I would be like, oh wait, you don't like me, what? But at least when you're with your twin, you're like, oh, that was funny, like, we went to an audition once. My agent said to me, you and your sister, we want to send you to, like, this, it's a sketch show, I think it was Peter Kay or something, and it was like, you're going to be in a sketch, and you're going to be Siamese twins, like, oh, I don't know if that's PC anymore, you're going to be conjoined twins, and you are, like, on, like, X Factor, and you sing, and then one of you is really good, but the other one isn't, and the joke is the judges are like, yeah, like, we want you, but not you. And that's the joke, like, because they're conjoined. And then I was like, okay, but we can't sing. Like, we can't sing. And she was like, no, that's the point. It's supposed to be funny. Like, you can't sing. And so we were like, fine, we got there. And they made us sing The Lion Sleeps Tonight. Like, and then she had to do the A Whim Away bit. And then I did the other bit. And we had to stand. She was behind me, so her head was on my shoulder. And, like, when we got in the audition, they were like, hope you guys can sing. And we laughed because we thought they were being sarcastic. We were like, we can't sing. And they were like, oh, well, we really need singers for this. They still asked in the audition. So there is a tape somewhere in the world with Catherine singing with her head on my shoulders and us doing a duet of The Lion Sleeps Tonight, like, really shittily. But yeah, I think if I was alone, it would be much more harrowing. But because we were together, it was a bit more entertaining.
That's quite, I mean, it's sweet that they let you, that they were like, okay, you've come all your
time. Give me your best shot.
And maybe they might be able to find your raw talent. You know, they say they can't sing. We'll be the judge of that.
Maybe they're, I think, yeah, maybe they're like, oh, they're just shy. And then we were like, no, we actually can't fucking sing.
Reliving the band days.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So, Double Act, what is your overall review of it? Would you recommend it to your younger self? How would you recommend it to people today?
I would recommend Double Act to anyone aged like 9+, probably. Because I think under that age, you might be a bit scared. Like, if you have your parents together, it might make you terrified that one of them's going to die or, like, another woman's going to come or whatever. But, yeah, I think 9+, you're at the age where it's just empathy-wise, it would be great for you to read, especially if you're not a twin. It'd be quite interesting if you're not a twin. If you're a twin, I definitely think read it. Definitely read it if you're a twin.
Well, I'm not a twin. I did want to be a twin.
Yeah, how did you feel when you read it?
When I read it as a child, I loved it. When I read it now, I pick up a lot more on the nuances. I definitely think I'm more Ruby than Garnet.
Yeah.
And you're right. Me and my brothers, so I've got two brothers, and I wouldn't want to be twins with either of them. Like, one of them has got a better life than me, and I think it's better that he's older and more, like... It means that even though when he was my age, he actually had his first kid and was married and owned a house.
Well, wait, how old are you?
I'm the youngest age I can possibly possibly. No, he got married at like 28, so yeah, he got shit done.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But
nope.
Yeah, far from happening. But yeah, he's got 3 kids now and... And a nice house. And I'm not jealous, it's fine. But yeah, if I was a twin, it would feel even worse.
What if, yeah, if you were the same, like, that's another thing, like, you are directly compared. Like, I want to make like jokes about this if I ever am able to do stand-up comedy again in the world. Not again, for the first time. I want to make some kind of joke that isn't too depressing about how the fact that if you're a twin, like there's not really a middle ground. Like if you're ever so slightly bigger than the other one, you're going to be, you're like the fat twin. And then if you're not quite as like stunningly beautiful, you're like the ugly twin. And like that was very much me. Like I had a mono brow for many more years than my sister, and there's not really a middle ground, and you're directly compared. So for example, like my sister went off and did like loads of other acting after Skins. I didn't do that much. And then you have to have a thick skin to have the entire world be, well, not, that's a bit self-involved, I'm sure no one really cares, but people saying, oh, what happened to you? I've seen your sister on TV. What happened to you? Did you give up? And I was like, you don't know what I've been doing behind the scenes. Like, and also maybe I don't want to do it anymore. Or also like, you know, my sister played the main character in an MTV show where she played a twin, and I didn't even get consulted about playing her twin. So,
I mean, that is that.
That's another hard punch in the gut.
That is rough.
But I did eventually meet the casting director of it, and she was like, I got so much hate on Twitter. She was like, but we you didn't have an American visa at the time, and blah blah. And I was like, okay, yeah, fair dues, but like, come on, man. Like, sure, you would have been able to get me an American visa. Yeah. But she was like, I regretted it ever since because so many people on Twitter were like bashing me for not hiring you. I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I'm pretty glad.
Did they not even offer you a cameo? It was like,
my sister didn't tell me. Like, I was like, Catherine, did you know you were playing a twin? And she was like, yeah, but like, there was something to do with, I don't know, like, it's not really up to me. And I was like, I know, but I just feel like just worth a call, you know, like you don't happen to have a twin sister who acts, do you? Like, I know it's a long shot, but like, do you? Nope.
That's showbiz.
A large slice of humble pie. I have been eating humble pie. I'm the humblest kind of.
That feels like that is a sequel to Double Act right there.
Yeah. That's why it was so funny. When I was listening to it, I was like, this one that's like, yeah, I do want to act, but then like, fucking hate the whole things that come with it. Kind of felt for Garnet in that situation.
Well, showbiz is a cruel world.
Yeah.
So, do you have anything you wish to promote?
What can I promote? Like, I mean, on
whatever you want.
Anything?
I mean, maybe not your drug dealing career.
Oh, damn it. Okay. So I'm on Twitter. I'm at Meg_Prescott. Twitter is much more inclusive, so I'll probably be more active on there as of the 20th of December when the new Instagram terms of service come into play. I am on Instagram. I'm very, very fucking funny. I'm at Megartron, so MEGARTRON. And if you can follow me, I don't know when this episode is coming out, but if you can follow me before the 20th, I'll be posting lots of information about how to support the sex workers that will now be shadow banned or completely deplatformed after the new terms of service come into play. So follow me before then. After then, I'll still try, but I might get deleted. I'm also on OnlyFans. So if you want to support creatives making money, I also distribute a lot of the income I make from OnlyFans to support other creatives who are trying to work their way through a pandemic. I am at Megartron, same as Instagram, but on OnlyFans. And it's only, I think it's $14.99 a month. So that's like, what is that, like a tenner a month?
Yes.
Lots of exclusive content.
Cheaper than a pizza.
Yeah, I did a Borat photo set the other day in a mankini. That went down very well. So you can expect a mix, the fine line between comedy and immense sex appeal on my OnlyFans. But yeah, Instagram has all the links to it. Again, I might have to delete them soon, but hopefully I'll be able to keep them.
Well, thank you so much for coming and doing the Jacqueline Wilson Fan Club. And you're still an avid member.
Thanks. Do we get badges?
Yeah, yeah. I'll make some badges.
Yeah, you know how to make badges.
Yeah, I can make some badges. Yeah. Well, have a lovely day. Thank you very much for taking part.
Thank you for listening to the Jacqueline Wilson Fan Club. If you've enjoyed the show, please do subscribe and give us 5 stars. And don't stop there. You can just tell everyone you've ever met or everyone you ever encounter to listen to the show. If you want to join in the conversation, you can find me on social media at Diary of a Maddie. This show has been produced by Jenny Kasner.